So let's get started. Okay, so this is our last year before Chazara week, not vacation. Chazara week before Chazara week. So I the only reason I wanted to do this year is because we didn't discuss folding clothing on Shabbos, and that's related to the malacha that we're doing. It's related to Malabin, and I wrote a whole chapter about folding clothing on Shabbos, and like I felt like, you know, I wrote a book on Shabbos, and like I barely get to really use it because it's all in the mitzvah saseh. So I just want to at least spend one day just like going through something that I actually wrote about. It would be helpful if I actually remembered what I wrote about, but maybe we'll just go through the basic sugya, and we'll call it a day or a week or whatever, right? And just to go through this basic sugya of folding begadim on Shabbos. Most of the time, when people talk about folding clothing on Shabbos, they're only thinking about one thing, and that is folding a talis on Shabbos. Because that's when people are looking. So and also that's where it comes up in Poskim as well. But it starts really with the Mishnah Masechah Shabbos. The Mishnah on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph tells us that Mekaplin Es HaKelim Afilu Arba V'Chamisha Pavim. You're allowed to fold Kelim. Kelim, of course, means Begadim. When the Gemara talks about being Tovel Kelim, it talks about being Tovel Begadim. Not like, you know, so because it's Mekabel Tumah, like any other Kli. So Mekaplin Es HaKelim Afilu Arba V'Chamisha. You could be mekapel kelim, you could fold kelim clothing four or five times. Umatzinas amitos milel Shabbos Shabbos, and you could also make your bed, spread out the bedspread or whatever from leil Shabbos to Shabbos. Avalomi Shabbos to Masai Shabbos, but you're not allowed to do this from Shabbos to Masai Shabbos. So it's interesting. The juxtaposition is interesting. What has one got to do with the other, or do they have anything to do with each other? The idea of mekapelness of begadim. And Matzina Samitos. So are they both the same Geder Adin, the same Yesod Hadin? So the Chachamim Rabbi tell us, what the Mishnah tells us very clearly, is that you're allowed to be Mekapel Begadim in order that they shouldn't crease if you need them for Shabbos day. Whether you're Mekapel the Beged on Lel Shabbos for Yom Shabbos, or whether you do it on Yom Shabbos for later that day, but not the Motzai Shabbos. Avalo, mi Shabbos to Motzai Shabbos. You're not allowed to do it from Shabbos to Motzai Shabbos. The Gemara tells us that the heter to be mekapel for that same Shabbos is only if you have four conditions that are met. All conditions are mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. And number one, it has to be al yidei adam echad, not bishnayim. It cannot be done al yidei two people. Number two, it needs to be a beged chadash. It has to be a new beged where apparently the crease is not so pronounced, and therefore it's not a tikkun gamur when it's a new beged. Number three, that the beged has to be white, because apparently colored clothing, the folding of colored clothing will really be a tikkun gamur. Apparently it brightens the color in some way, or makes the color stand out more strongly somehow when you're mekapel it properly, as opposed to a white beged where you don't have that same impact. And number four, it has to be that you don't have any other begadim to change into for Shabbos. So only if you meet all four of those conditions, then you're allowed to be mekapel on Shabbos for the sake of Shabbos. But even with those four conditions, you're not allowed to be mekapel on Shabbos for Motzai Shabbos. All four of those conditions, the same Shabbos, Adam Echad, Chadash, Love, all five of the conditions, I guess if you count the same Shabbos as one of the conditions, that it's got to be for that Shabbos, it's got to be one person, it's got to be new, it's got to be white, and it's got to be that you don't have any other clothing. All of that is quoted in Siman Shin Beis of Gimel in Shulchan Aruch. Now, what the Shulchan Aruch does not, what the Gemara and the Mishnah does not discuss, the Mishnah talks about folding clothing on Friday night for Shabbos day, and L'chora who had in Shabbos morning for Shabbos day, and it talks about folding clothing L'motzai Shabbos. What it doesn't talk about is, what about folding clothing on Shabbos for next Shabbos? Not L'motzai Shabbos, but for the following Shabbos. So that it doesn't address. And that, L'chora, is the most common situation. Because the most common situation of folding something on the crease is, should you fold on the crease, should you not fold on the crease, is by a talus. And most people have a Shabbos talus and a weekday talus. So when they fold up the Shabbos talus after Musaf on Shabbos morning, the next time they're going to use it is next Shabbos. So L'chora, that's very, very relevant to know whether it's permissible or not. So Rabbeinu Chananel, Shabbos Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, in Dibur Maschil Adam, Rabbeinu Chananel writes that just like you're allowed to fold clothing for the sake of that Shabbos, so too you're allowed to fold clothing for the sake of the next Shabbos. The Ravon, however, says that no, you're not allowed to do it for another Shabbos, and it's mefurish in the Tosefta in the 13th Parak of Shabbos that even though that you're allowed to rinse kelim litzorech that Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it litzorech Shabbos acheres. So the chora would be the same din over here that you would not be allowed to do it for the next Shabbos. Rabbeinu Chananel says that it's mutter. Rabbeinu Chananel was a very, very important Rishon. He was one of the more widely respected Rishonim, Kol Dvar of Divrei Kabbalah, the Rishonim always say about Rabbeinu Chananel. Rav Lapiansky just spoke about Rabbeinu Chananel in his monthly, you guys know about Rav Lapiansky's monthly, what? His what? Gedolei Torah podcast, right. So now he's going in order of the generations. He stopped doing it based on yard sites, so he just did Rabbeinu Chananel. I only listened with like half an ear when I was doing other things, but one of the things he mentioned about Rabbeinu Chananel was he was the bridge between the Gaonim and the Rishonim. That the Gaonim are like their own parsha, the way they operate is in their own universe, and the Rishonim have their own Derech HaLimud and work in their own universe, and the Rabbeinu Chananel was sort of the bridge between the two, and for that reason and other reasons, Rabbeinu Chananel is like the most widely respected among the Rishonim. I mean, we think of the Rambam, we think of Rashi, we think of the Rashi, you know, the Rashba Tosos, we think of a few like key Rishonim. When you ask Rishonim who they thought of Rabbeinu Chananel. I mean, so Rabbeinu Chananel holds that it's mutter. Now he says, okay. There's what to discuss about Rabbeinu Chananel himself, but let's leave that aside for now. So we have this din with these five conditions that allow you to fold clothing. Otherwise, you're not allowed to fold clothing. So the most fundamental question in the whole sugya is. What? Meaning, what are you supposed to do? What do people do? How do they ever put their talis away? How do you ever, what do you do with your clothing on Friday night? Are you allowed to hang your jacket on a hanger and put it in the closet? Is that also called that you're arranging your clothing nicely? How exactly do we determine what's called folding clothing and not? But in order to get there, we first need to discuss what the basis of the issur is. What's wrong with folding clothing? Which of the lamatas malachos is folding clothing a violation of, or even a hint to a violation of, and what might the heterim be? And then we can get into, you know, the minhagim of doing it again on Motzai Shabbos, and whether that's based in halach or kabbalah or both. You know, a lot of people, like right after Shabbos, they'll fold they'll take out the talis again, and they'll fold their talis. So what's that about? Is that based on halach, or is that only based on klipos and other things that attach themselves to an unfolded talis? So anyway, so there is a machlokas rishonim about what the basis of the issur is. The Rambam Perek Chaf Beis Halach Chaf Beis writes, also the sakin basiyad shal begadim ulishavrim shvarim kederach shemesakin b'chol habegadim shemechavsin osan v'chein ein mekaplim habegadim b'shabes kederach shosin b'chol bebegadim k'sheich b'suosan. That you shouldn't fold clothing on Shabbos the way you would do on a weekday after laundering them. If you don't have another suit to wear, it's your only suit, so you can fold it nicely, so you can look nice on Shabbos. But v'u'sheya beged chadash, lavan, mismaich, misachlich miyad, ukshi kabbalu kabbalu ish echad, aval kabbalu b'shnayim asu. So the Ram goes through all the conditions. It's got to be chadash, it's got to be lavan, it's got to be ish echad, it has to be that it's in the lacher that you don't have another beggar, and it's got to be dafka for that Shabbos. The Rambam includes the Isra of Kipul Begadim together with the Isra of Tikkun Begadim. It sounds like he holds that this is a Tikkun for the Beged, a sort of an offshoot of Makkah B'Patish, or an example of Makkah B'Patish. Because apparently, if the Beged gets creased, it doesn't look as nice. And now that it doesn't have these creases, it looks like a nice Beged, and therefore it's a Tikkun Kli. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan understands Shitas Rambam. It is not the only understanding of the Shitas Rambam, but that's how the Aruch HaShulchan understands the Shitas HaRambam. Rashi, the Meiri, also suggest that the issue is Tikkun Kli, that by folding it, it looks, it's nearer Kimesakein, so whether it is Tikkun Kli or looks like Tikkun Kli, resembles Tikkun Kli, it's some sort of offshoot of Tikkun Kli. It can't actually be Tikkun Kli because the Beged works even if it has creases in it. The Beged works even if it doesn't look crisp. It still is going to be able to be functional. It's not a tikkun mamish. Tikkun mamish would be, and the raya that it's not really a tikkun is if it really were a tikkun kli, then you wouldn't be allowed to use it that Shabbos itself either. You wouldn't be allowed to do it for that Shabbos. We don't say, oh, you forgot to cook before Shabbos. Okay, just for this Shabbos, just for lunch, you're allowed to cook. No, if it's really, if something's really a malacha, you know, heterim, you can't just say that you're allowed to do it for that Shabbos. So it can't be that it's a tikkun kli. It must be that it's a din derabbanan, that it's near a kimisake. Elamai, the rabbanan weren't going to be goes there if was going to make you look like a schlump on Shabbos. So in order to make you look nice on Shabbos, in order to allow you to look nice on Shabbos, for that very Shabbos, the rabbanan were not goes there, that it's near a kimisakein. But anyway, that Shitas HaRambam seems to be Shitas Rashi, Shitas Meiri, that it's all about Tikkun Kli. Comes along the Ravid, Perichav Gimel Halacha Zayin, says the Ravid, Hatzos HaMita is Aser because it's a Tarech Gadol. Hatzos HaMita is a Tircha. And it's mistaver that the Ravid means, and therefore Kippul Begadim is also an Isser because of a Tircha. After all, the same Mishnah that says Hatzos HaMita talks about folding clothing. So mistama, the two are linked with each other. Folding clothing and Hatzos HaMita are the same Isser. So the Aruch HaShulchan is Medayek in Shin Beis Osir Aleph that Tosos holds that it's an Isser Mishum Tircha as well, because Tosos writes, Mikan Lamandu the Osir LeKapel Taliso Shal that from here we see you're not allowed to fold the talus of a shul because they're needed for the next day, and by talus it's not tikkun kli, the isser is one of tircha. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. I don't know how he knows that the isser is not tikkun kli when it comes to a talus, but apparently the issue makes more sense that it will be an issue of tircha when it comes to a talus, and therefore the Ravid seems to be assuming that the issue is one of tircha. Now, it's interesting, like when we talk about in Hilchas Nida, we talk about Hatzos HaMita. So the Gemara tells us that Kol Melacha Sheisha Osa Lebaila, the Mishnah, Ksubis, Kol Melacha Sheisha Osa Lebaila Nida Osa Lebaila, Chutz Mei Mezigas HaKos, Chutz Pagav Yadav Raglav, and Hatzos HaMita. Those are the only three things that a Nida is not allowed to do for her husband. So Hatzos HaMita over there, the Balei Atosis already write that the Hatzos HaMita that they talk about is not what we would call making the bed, because our making the bed is just a tircha. It's only a tircha. Sounds like the Hatzos HaMita in Talmudic language is not something that's stam a tircha. It's something that shows an extra chavivos. It's something that is not just a tircha, but over here the term tircha is used in a different context, meaning over there tircha means as opposed to something that shows love. Over here it's irrelevant whether it shows love or doesn't show love or not. The point is that it's a tircha, that it's burdensome to do it. So since it's burdensome to do it, it's something that involves some sort of excessive tircha, whatever it is. Maybe it's like making the bed where like they do it in a hotel where it's like you really make it like tight where like, you know, you need a lot of koach, just like get into bed at night, like, you know, to pull the thing out from all sides and whatever, right? So maybe that kind of Hatzos HaMita doesn't just mean like, you know, just throwing the cover on your bed, but maybe that kind of Hatzos HaMita is something that involves some amount of tircha. But that seems to be Shitas HaRavid, that involves some level of tircha. So again, this is the way the Aruch HaShulchan understands that the Rambam is saying that it's an Isser of Tikkun Mana, and the Ravid is saying that it's an Isser of Tircha. Magen Mishnah on the Rambam over there, and the Radvaz in the Tshuva Chelekesim and Kuf Lamid say a little bit different. They say, no, the Ravid's not disagreeing with the Rambam about folding clothing. The Ravid is only talking about Hatzos HaMita. Two separate dinim, they have nothing to do with each other. The Isser of Kippul Begadim is because of Misakein, like the Rambam implies, and the Ravid agrees to that. The Isser of Hatzos HaMita, the Ravid just tells you, by the way, is Aser because of Tircha and not Aser because of Tikkun Mana. The Rambam never explained that Hatzos HaMita is because of Tircha, so the Ravid is just saying, the Rambam left this out, so I'm just adding something over here. I mean, sometimes there's an explanatory note that the Ravid is adding in, Lav Dafka, that the Ravid is being Cholik. So that's how the Magen Mishnah and the Radvaz understand, that the Ravid is not really a separate Shita, that the Rambam and the Ravid both hold Tikkun Mana. But again, the way the Aruch HaShulchan understands it is that it's two separate shitas. That the Rambam holds an Isser of Tikkun Mana, and that the Ravid holds it's an Isser of Tircha Yisera. The Aruch HaShulchan says nafkamina between the Rambam and the Ravid is if you are mekapel a beged with a with a kipul pashut, that according to the Rambam, it's not a tikkun, meaning you're not doing anything fancy, you're not doing anything unusual, and according to the Ravid, it's going to be asur because it's still a tircha litzarechol. Tircha doesn't mean that it's excessive tircha, it just means that you're making some sort of effort that you would not have otherwise made for the sake of a weekday. So since you're doing it for the sake of a weekday, so that's going to be asur. One could argue that it's both, that folding clothing, it depends which of the five criteria you're missing. Meaning, we said that you're only allowed to do it litzarech that Shabbos. If you're doing it litzarech chol, it's going to be aser. And even litzarech that Shabbos, chadosh and lavan and adam echad, right, all of those additional qualifications. One could argue, if it's litzarech chol, so then you're knocked out right off the bat with tircha, that's considered tircha or achana. So whereas the other qualifications maybe are about tikkun mana, that if it may not be, it's a tircha for the sake of Shabbos, you're allowed to be tareach for the sake of Shabbos. Yeah.
According to the Ravid, how does he understand the four different requirements by kipul begadim? It's all about tircha, what does it make a difference?
Yeah, so it's right. Unless you assume that it's more haphazard, and maybe that wouldn't qualify as tircha. That tircha involves a certain.
I thought Rebbe was saying the qualifications are in that predicament the Rabbanan where it goes there. So it's not really that it speaks to the nature.
Ah, right. Meaning if you assume that the whole thing is only to Rabbanan anyway, so in cases where. But why wouldn't they be gozer? Because it doesn't involve as much, it's not.
Because you're so desperate.
It depends which of the qualifications, right? Depends which of the qualifications. Elo Begadacher would be, what?
If anything, other Machin sounds backwards, it should be
two people. No, the assumptions with two people, though, it gets it really crisp. Like, you're going to get it exactly on the. Right. If it's only. Unless you say, no. Tircha doesn't mean how difficult it is for me to do. You know, Tircha is. How much net effort is being put in to this endeavor.
And then just the other question was to clarify with Rashi and Meiri, so is there a nafkamina between saying it's nearer to Misakim Mana versus something to be in Misakim Mana?
Whether you'd have heterin. I mean, because if it's purely drabbanan, so the drabbanan could decide when it's not. A pashas is nearer to Misakim Mana, it's not actual tikkun mana. Yeah.
Just to clarify, is tircha litzarechol the same as akhala?
Yeah, so tircha, meaning, tircha could be asur even if it's not l'tzorachol, but tircha l'tzorachol will always involve hachan.
Well, I'm saying right? Here, is it an independent issue of tircha, according to the Rishon
Meir? Yeah, so I don't know, meaning you have to, right, meaning, but that's what I'm trying to argue. I'm not sure. Meaning, you could argue that the tircha issue is only when you're doing it l'tzorach chol. What about l'tzorach Shabbos when you don't meet the other criteria? So then, I don't know. Maybe it's tircha, or maybe not. Maybe that's only an issue of tikkun mana.
The Ravid said chol.
What?
The Ravid said.
The Ravid Dafka said the word chol.
Yeah.
Shutorech l'chol. Yeah. So then l'chora, right? He's worried about hachana. Then that would fit.
It happens to be that if it's. That's the din here is that if it's a tzorachol, it's a problem. But it's not necessarily true that he thinks it's tircha as it means of achana. In other words, it could still be that he's just saying that here, where it's.
No, it's most mistaver that if it's the tzorachol, he means achana. Yeah, in which case that would indicate that the Ravid and the Rambam maybe aren't really arguing, and that if you do it on Shabbos without all the qualifications of tikkun mana, and then you have this additional issue of tircha, or/slash achana. In the Chidushim HaMiyuchasim L'Ran, he says that the Yisra is Tirchi Yisera, they used to really press the garment really well, and when you do that with two people, that's a Tirchi Yisera. So again, that's not a Hachana kind of Tircha, he talks about Tirchi Yisera kind of Tircha, that it involves expending a lot of effort. Then there's a Tosos Yom Tov. Tosos Yom Tov in the 15th Parak of Shabbos says that the reason the Rambam in the Tur mentioned the Din of Kippul Begadim right next to the Din of Kibbutz is because they would fold the clothing right after being mechabis the clothing. And because the begadim would become soft from the kibbutz, and therefore they needed to fold it nicely to make sure it comes out nice. So he says it could be that the Rishonim hold that the Chum Asr Kippul Begadim as a chashash, a gzeira, shami yavali de kibbutz. Now that's a concern. It's a gzeira mishum kibbutz, because this is a kibbutz type of activity. It's the kind of thing you would do right after kibbutz. So people might make the mistake and think that it's mutter to do kibbutz as well. And he says v'chein mashma katzas. That's how he concludes v'chein mashma katzas. That it sounds that way a little bit. That from the Rambam. However. This we've discussed in the past also. Rav Asher Weiss has said that he doesn't think you can always be medayek from the juxtaposition of a halacha in the Rambam to another halacha in the Rambam, that the geder hadin is the same, that the yesod hadin is the same. He said very often the Rambam will arrange the halachas based on how they come up in practicality, how they normally present themselves. And yes, folding clothing happens to happen right after laundering clothing. That's how things play out in practicality. That's not an indication that the geder hadin is the same. I think there are many rebbeim in our yeshiva that have given many, many shiurim assuming that Rav Asher Weiss's yisod is not correct, and that if Rambam is, if Rambam juxtaposes two dinim in the same halacha, that it must be that it's a reflection of the yesod hadin, of the geder hadin. Certainly Rav Rosenzweig gives many shiurim based on that assumption. Rav Asher Weiss is convinced that that's not the case, that sometimes Rambam is just presenting the way Rambam was making a book that he thought would be simple to read for people. And if he's talking about doing laundry, so he's going to talk about the things that come up as you do laundry, whether those things are all based on the same din or not.
What about the fact that the two of them together?
So, probably because the Rambam put them together. And it could have, the Torah is also a practical guide, right? I mean, I'm sure he would say the same thing about the Torah. Like, I don't think he would think that the Torah is less likely to do that. If anything, the Torah would be more likely to do that. So now, let's go through these requirements. So the Gemara says, even if for the Beged, for that same Shabbos, it's only Adam Echad, not Shnei Bnei Adam. So says Rashi, because by having two people, you're really going to do a good job, and that's going to be Tikkun Mana. However, even when it's one person, sometimes it's considered like it's two people. The Kolbo writes in the Nehemiah Yerushalmi, when you spread it out, when it's one person folding it, but he's using like a flat surface to help him in the folding, so then it's the same as Kippel Al Yidei Shnayim, and the Eliyahu Rabbah quotes that Lahalacha. Meaning, what is it about one person? You ever try to fold a bed sheet or something without using a surface? So you're trying, and it doesn't quite come out, as perfect. But if you're able to lay it down on a surface and then you fold it over, that surface is serving as the other person. So as long as you're doing it in a way that could bring about the same type of folding that you would do with two people, that would count as two people as well. So like if we're thinking from the perspective of, okay, we have this iser, and yet people fold their talus after shul, right? And we haven't even discussed folding on a crease, off a crease, just folding. It says you're not allowed to fold, right? So you have this iser, and we're trying to get from a point where there's a mishnah before reshes that says that it's aser, and that the only heterim are if you have five criteria that we never ever have, all five of them, right? So, and we want to get from there to a point where it's mutter to fold your talus on Shabbos, right? So how do we get from point A to point B? So we just took a step backwards, right? So we said that if you're going to say that Adam Echad, don't worry, you're not going to have a problem. Okay, good. At least that one I have, that qualification I have, because whenever I fold things, it's Adam Echad. I'm never folding something with somebody else. So comes the Eliyahu Rabbah and says, based on the Yerushalmi, you don't have that heter either. Even when you're folding something big, maybe by a talus it helps, because by a talus you don't use the table so much, or at least I don't think people do. But when it comes to folding on the surface, so then it's gonna be weiter like Shnei Bnei Adam. What about a Beged Chadash? Do we have that criteria? So the Gemara is mechalik between a Beged Chadash that you're allowed to be mekapel and for that Shabbos with Adam Echad, and older Begadim which you're not allowed to be mekapel. So the Torah writes the Geder of a Beged Chadash is as long as you haven't laundered it yet. But once you've done kibbutz, even once, then it's not a Beged Chadash anymore. Which would mean that as long as you've ever cleaned your clothing, it's going to be usher to fold your clothing. If you ever Baruch Hashem, Jews have a minhag that they don't clean their talus ever. So, but if you've ever cleaned your clothing, so then you have a problem. It's no longer a Beged Chadash, it's going to be usher. Why is a Beged Chadash different than an old Beged? So Rashi writes, because Begadim Chadashim don't get so creased, the crease doesn't stay as strong, and therefore the kippul is not going to be masaking them so well. As opposed to older begadim, they get very, very creased, meaning there are wrinkles all over the place, and therefore when you straighten it out, you're really doing a tikkun on the begad. A begad chadash is not as likely when a begad wears out. The assumption always was that over time, a begad would wear out and it would start getting thin. You know, like you see sometimes a person's wearing a suit and it's like all shiny, right? The begad is, whatever is on, the begad is just wearing out over time, so it thins out over time, and once it thins out, it becomes very likely to get very creased, and therefore the kippul is really a tikkun mana. The Rambam, however, that's how Rashi writes. The Rambam, however, Perichav Beis Halachav Beis, that there were matzias to be makapel begadim chadashim and white ones because they're memarim lismaich ulehislachlich, that they get dirty and they get ruined much more easily, and if you don't fold them, then you're not going to have a nice begad for Shabbos. Meaning, the reason that we are matir a begad chadash is because there's a greater need by a begad chadash. Meaning, whereas the way Rashi understands the reason we're matir by a begad chadash is because a begad chadash, it's not such a big tikkun anyway, right? Because the begad chadash doesn't get so creased anyway, so it's not such a big tikkun. Rambam says the opposite. That no, begad chadash gets ruined much more easily, it loses that nice look much more easily, so therefore it's a greater need to be makapel a begad chadash to make it look nicer. In Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, they quote from Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach, that bizmanenu, we have no idea why there should be any difference between white clothing, colored clothing, begadim chadashim, old begadim. All of these things are difficult to understand. In Tshuva Shevet Alevi, Ravazner, and Chelakei Simlam Vavos Beis, is Mlamid Zuchus on people that fold their pants at night and their clothing when they go to sleep. Even though they're not chadash and they're not lovin, no one wears white suits, and people have dry cleaned their suits before. So he says, "Etzleinu akol nikra chadashim shalonis chapsu." He says, first of all of our clothing are new because we've never done kibbutz on our clothing. However, Chazal defined kibbutz, we don't really do that. We send our suits to the cleaners. Whatever they do doesn't qualify as kibbutz. The fact that we send them l'nikoy begadim, halo sham machzirun gama kemet arishon b'yasr se'es. All they're going to do when you send them to the cleaners anyway is put back the initial crease in a stronger way. So it makes it more chadash, doesn't make it less chadash when you send it to the cleaners. So you don't have to, I mean, the whole reason Begad Yashan is Asr, says Rav Asner, is that once it's old and it's already been cleaned, so it lost the original crease, so now you're going to fold it, you're going to recreate that original crease, and that's a tikkun mana. He says, no, you send your Begad to the cleaners, it comes back with that crease crisper and sharper than ever. So now if you fold it, you're not doing a tikkun mana, because it's better than new. It's as good as new, if not better than new, when we clean our begadim, because they press it for us in such a way. So he says also, it doesn't seem that there's any difference between white and colored, because even in colored clothing, the crease stays very strong in colored clothing. So as far as the qualifications that if you want to be matir, it needs to be new and white, so he says that's not true anymore. It doesn't need to be either of those things. It doesn't need to be new, it doesn't need to be white, that's not going to be a tikkun mana anyway. What about yesh l'lahachlif? That's a real problem, right? Meaning if you're trying to get rid of all of these, see how we fill all these qualifications in order to allow folding our clothing. One of the qualifications is that you have no other beged to wear. Who doesn't have another beged to wear? Most people have another beged to wear in today's day and age. So the Gemara says, if you have a beged to change into, then you're not allowed to be mekapel for that Shabbos. Even a beged chadash, even if it's one person doing the folding. So Tosus writes that since you have a beged lahachlif, they didn't see a need, the Chachamim didn't see a need to be matir. Meaning, again, like we said before, that since the whole thing is only nisa d'rabanan, so in cases of great sorech, the rabbanan are going to be mekil. But there's no great sorech if you have another suit to wear. And then Tos writes that the ri is mistapik. If you don't have, you have another beged, but it's not so nice. Is that called yesh lahachlif or not? Meaning you have a suit, it doesn't fit as nicely, it's last year's style, it's not as new, it's whatever it is, it's not as nice. There's a reason you're wearing the suit that you're wearing and not the other suit that you have, because the other one's not as nice. So it sounds from the Shulchan Aruch, he says, ein lo lahachlif, it's mutter to fold. Sounds like if yesh lahachlif, it's aser, even if the second beged is not as nice as the other one. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes as well. So even though the Baal Yatos will say, I don't know, maybe Elo Lahachlif, maybe you have a heter that the other one that you have is not as nice, then that's called Elo Lahachlif. Doesn't make it into Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch it sounds that even if the other one that you have is not as nice, it's still called Yeshlo Lahachlif. However, in Sharet Tzion, in Sivkat Yitzayin, he says that if you only have weekday clothing, then it's not called Yeshlo Lahachlif. Then it's Elo Lahachlif. If you have one Shabbos suit, right? There are people, even in 2022, who live in the five towns that only have one Shabbos suit. It's possible. It's possible such a thing. They have one Shabbos suit. So if you have one Shabbos suit, right? So then we get a new one for the wedding. But if you have one Shabbos suit and your other clothing are all weekday clothing, so then the Sharet Tzion writes that's not called Yeshlo Lahachlif, and therefore you're allowed to fold. And he brings a raya because the Gemara says that the Beis Gamliel would not be Mekapel Bigday Lavan because they had Lahachlif. I mean, Beis Rabbi Gamliel didn't utilize these heterim because they couldn't, because they had other begadim to change into. What kind of chiddush that they had other begadim to change into? If having other begadim includes weekday clothing, only the rich people of Beis Rabbi Gamliel had weekday clothing? Everybody has Yeshlo Lahachlif. It's a din. You need to have special big day Shabbos and special big day and big day chol that are not big day Shabbos. So what do you mean? What kind of chiddush would that be? That Beis Rabbi Gamliel had Lahachlif. Elamai Yeshlo Lahachlif means you have a second Shabbos suit. And that's what they're saying. The Beis Rabbi Gamliel, they were Spitz, Lawrence, or whatever. So they, you know, they had a second suit. You know, they weren't like the rest of us. But if it was about weekday suits, then it would be an entirely different discussion. Everybody has a weekday set of clothing and Shabbos set of clothing. However, one could argue that that's not necessarily the greatest raya, because not everyone had a second set of clothing. In fact, the Gemara itself says, v'chibadito, right? Covered in the Gemara often relates to clothing. Right, that it's that which is the external representation of the person. So v'chibadito, the Gemara says, we learned that shloye begadav shel chol, begadav shel Shabbos ku begadav shel chol. And the Gemara says that if you didn't have two sets of clothing, so then mishalshi yishalsha begadav, then you should just lower your clothing. Meaning, if during the week when people were working, so their clothing was short, their jackets were short, let's say, because they had to have dexterity to be able to move around and run from this end of the shop to that end of the shop, or whatever they were doing. It used to be Jews used to work blue-collar jobs. They didn't always, have to, be a doctor, lawyer, nursing home, whatever. Whatever the four jobs are that Jews are allowed to do. So it used to be that Jews would be shoemakers and other things, and they were running around and doing all. So it wouldn't make sense that you'd have to wear a long garment. So they'd wear a short garment, but on Shabbos they should be mishal shalemata. They should lower their beged. That's why you've heard of the practice that some people have that they wear long but only on Shabbos. Right, that they'll wear a short jacket during the week, but on Shabbos they'll put on a frock. Right, they'll put on a sort of Belsky zechron l'vracha. Used to do. Rav Belsky wore a regular suit during the week, and Shabbos he wore long. That's based on that. That's why when he first started wearing tcheles, he only wore on Shabbos. So people got the impression that there's some sort of extra mitzvah of wearing tcheles on Shabbos that you don't have during the week. No, that's not what it's about. It's not because of the balamor and the carrying. Whatever. No, it's when he wore on Shabbos because he didn't want everyone to see that he's wearing tcheles. So during the week, when he wore his tzitzis out, everyone could see because it stuck out from under his jacket. But on Shabbos, he wore long, so you couldn't see Rav Belsky's tcheles. It was covered up. And then when he got older, I think after his illness, when they added the name to him, he just didn't care what people thought anymore. So he just, did what he thought was right. So he wore tchilas in a more public manner. But the Gemara says that if you don't have an extra beged, so then you lower the beged, you make the beged longer. So it sounds like not everyone had big day chol and big day Shabbos. Maybe only the Ashirim, like the Beis Rabbi Gamliel, had such begadim. Not everybody did. Even the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, Yishtadel, the Shulchan Aruch says when it talks about wearing big day Shabbos, the Yishtadel, the person should be Mishtadel to have big day Shabbos. Yishtadel? What do you mean? If it's a chiyuv, then of course you should have big day Shabbos. Elamai, Shulchan Aruch was writing in a context where it's not so poshut that everybody has big day Shabbos, and therefore yishtadel, if you're able to make such a yishtadlus, you should do so. There's what to discuss about that, meaning whether every time the lashon yishtadel is used, does it mean that it's not really such a chiv? Sometimes yishtadel, there are two ways to read it, right? It's like, it's a mashal madavadoma, pasuk in Torah, midvar sheker tirchak. So what is that? Does that mean that lying is not really an avera? It's just saying, stay away from it, Or is it, no, it's worse than an avera. It's more than a regular loss to say. Not only shouldn't you do it, tirchak. You say, so what's yishtadel? Is yishtadel that, look, if you can, it'd be nice, not an absolute requirement. If you can, you should try to have big day Shabbos. Or is it, no, a normal mitzvah, you put in normal efforts, but for this, yishtadel, you got to really try hard for this. Right, where else does yishtadel come up? Vedavnung of the Tzibur, right, comes up over there, and Beishnai Mikra also. Right. So you have a few places. That's the question. So that's a question that I think I wrote about that also somewhere here about the lashon of Yishtadel. So that's the question whether that what that means, and you have different opinions in the poskim about that. I don't know. Oh, I think there's a typo. It says Simon Hay. It's not Simon Hay. I changed the order of the simanim later on.
Who had that one?
What?
Who had that simon?
Oh, yeah. I changed the order of the simanim later on. At some point, like right before we were about to lay out the order, the editor was like, what kind of order did you put this in? I said, the order of the simanim Shulchan Aruch. He said, nah, it doesn't make sense. You got to do it. And we changed the whole order. So, okay. It's not the only type. But there's another place where I wanted it would be mechalik somehow left between men and women, and there was a typo that said anashim instead of nashim. So that's a pretty that's a bigger one. That's yeah. So yesh lahachlif is a question. Again, yesh lahachlif might mean that the re-suggests maybe it just means you don't have it's called ein lo lahachlif if you don't have as nice. But we said it didn't make it in Shulchan Aruch to say such a thing. Okay, but maybe Yesh lo lahachlif, Ein lo lahachlif is even if you only have weekday clothing, but you don't have Shabbos clothing. So we're not convinced that that's necessarily a raya one way or the other. Now, what are the heterim? So there are a number of heterim that are suggested by the poskim for folding clothing on Shabbos, specifically five heterim. Number one, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the Isser is only if you really do a good job of folding the clothing. But if you do it, he says, Das Rabbi Seinu Bali Atos, Ach Lahashlich Beged, Beli Kipul Klal, Eino Midarach Bnei Adam, Vakvana Gamkein Le'ezek Kipul Meduyak, Aval Kipul Sheino Meduyak, Gam L'Shitasa Mutter. That if you don't do like a precise, that's why a lot of times people fold their talus, they'll fold it a little bit off. That it's not going to be exactly, if a person is that kind of personality, where everything has, it drives them crazy. Like they can't, it hurts them to do it as they're folding the talus. But that's that's heter number one that the Aruch Shulchan says that just doesn't fit the qualification of the Isser. It doesn't fit the Geder HaIsser. It's not a Tirchi Yisera. It's not a Tikkun Mana, because you're just not rolling it up in a ball and stuffing it away somewhere. You're putting it away in a bit of a nicer way, but it's not really a Kipul. Furthermore, the Mordechai writes that the Yisra is quoted by the Beis Yosef over here, that the Yisra of Kippul is only if you do it on the crease like it was before. But if you're Mekapel, Shalob, Seder, Kippul, Arishon, then it's not considered the Yisra of Kippul. And Levush explains that the Kippul, Shalob, Seder, Kippul, Arishon doesn't have any Kiyum, and therefore it's not a Tikkun Mana. Tikkun Mana is if you're going to do it in a way where it's going to last. But if you're doing it off the crease, even if you're doing it evenly, you're just doing it the reverse of the crease or something like that, it's not going to last, and therefore it's not a Tikkun Mana. Rav Vadya has a tshuva about this, in Yechav Das Chelik Beisim and Mem, and he says that any time you're Mekapel, not in the Seder, of Kippul Arishon, you're Megaladas, that you're not makbid about being Mesakin Mana, and therefore it's not near a Ketikun Mana, because the whole thing is only near a Ketikun Mana to begin with. So if you're showing that I'm going to fold it in a way where it's not where it seems more haphazard, so then it's not near a Ketikun Mana. And Shulchan Aruch quotes this in the name of Yesh Misha Omer, and then the Shulchan Aruch says, V'nirin Dvarav. that Yesh Misha Omer, that like this Mordechai, that that if it's not on the creases, that it's okay. It's only Yesh Misha Omer, but near in Dvarav. So Magen Avraham writes on the Shulchan Aruch, who paskins that it's mutter, to take talus, someone else's talus, as long as, I mean, Magen Avraham in Simen Yodalid, not in Hilchos Shabbos, Simen Yodalid in Hilchos Tzitzis. So there's a whole discussion. Let's say I go to shul and I don't have a talus. Am I allowed to borrow someone's talus? So I ask the shul for a talus. They have extra, normally they'll have extra talisos to give to people, to guests. They're all out. There's a whole bunch of Kiruv Shabbaton or something, and a whole bunch of people walked in and they all needed the talus. So, but there's an extra talus from a guy who davened at an early minyan, and his talus bag is right there. Am I allowed to borrow the guy's talus without his permission? So there's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch about borrowing Svarim, borrowing Tefillin, right? So it's interesting, Shulchan Aruch assumes that you're allowed to borrow Tefillin but not Svarim. Right, because if you borrow tefillin, no one's makbid about that. Everyone's happy. But svarim are very expensive, and people are very nervous that you're going to rip the sefer, that you're going to ruin the sefer. So people, but l'chora, that has changed nowadays. I mean, it all depends on what assumptions you make about what people are happy with. So people get very touchy about their tefillin. Certainly, if you're going to change the sizes, don't do that. Don't borrow someone's tefillin and then start messing around with the knot. And you know, he started with a 4-box knot. You're leaving with a 3-box knot. You know, like, you don't want to mess around with people's tefillin. But also, people just don't like it was on your greasy hair, and it was like you were sweating. People would get uncomfortable with that a little bit. But when it comes to svarim, you know, they're not so uncomfortable with it. What does the sefer cost already? $13. You know, buy another one. So like, so people are not so concerned about svarim. But anyway, so the Magen Avraham over there writes, where the Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to take someone's talus as long as you fold it back, if you found it folded originally. So he says you could fold the talus even shalo kederach kipula rishon, that when you borrow someone's talus, yes, you have to fold it back up, but you can fold it however you want to fold it. You don't have to fold it the same way the guy folded it. And he says on Shabbos, even if you don't fold it at all, it's mutter. Don't worry, just don't fold it. It's Shabbos, everyone understands. So Machsa Shekel says, well, wait a second. If you're not doing your Kederach HaKippul HaRishon, why don't you have to fold it back on Shabbos? You borrowed it from the guy. Shouldn't you have to fold it back on Shabbos? If it's mutter, then you should have to do it. If you're allowed to fold that way, then you got to do it on Shabbos. So he says, because it's Roy Lahachmir not to be Makapal at all, so it's Noach L'Lebailim to do a mitzvah b'mamono, even if the Shoel is Machmir Alatzmo, and he's not being makapal the talus at all. It's just a chumra yaseira, but you're allowed to keep such a chumra, even on someone else's cheshbon. You're allowed to keep such a chumra, to take such a chumra that you don't want to fold at all. So it sounds from the Magen Avraham that really we pass like the Mordechai, the Yesh Misha Omer in Shulchan Aruch, and that's why the Mechaber says v'nir in Dvarav. It's just that the Magen Avraham is mechadish, the gedder of what they say, nichli linishlav mitzvah monei, is that not only is it nichli that someone else does a mitzvah with my mamon, I'm even nichli that he'll do a chumrah with my mamon, that he'll inconvenience me with his chumrah. It's also a question of chazaka. Do we really have such a chazaka that people are okay with you inconveniencing them with your chumrah? I got a voice note that my son Yonah sent me, that Rabbi Turetsky sent him from Shalavim yesterday. And Rabbi Turetsky said, I just want to share with you an experience I just had. I was asked to drive Rav Schechter back to where he was staying, and he asked, instead of driving him back to where he was staying, he wanted to go visit Rav Asher Weiss. So I was asked to drive him to Rav Asher Weiss. So I was like, okay, sure. So he took Rav Schechter and the Rebbetzin to Rav Asher Weiss. And Rav Schechter is sitting there with Rosh Weiss, and Rav Asher says, can I get the Rosh Yeshiva something to do, which is really awesome that Rav Asher calls Rav Schechter the Rosh Yeshiva. He says, can I get the Rosh Yeshiva something to drink? And so Rav Schechter said, I love a tea, actually. So Rav Asher says, you want some sugar in the tea? So no, you guys know the answer? Does Rav Schechter take sugar in the tea?
No.
The answer is always no. Why is the answer no? Because when he was 26 years old and he first got married and they were having trouble having children, they went to Eretz Yisrael to get brachas from all of his father-in-law's chaverim, all the altar mirrors, and they were going around getting the brachas, and they also visited some family members of his, and when they visited family members of his who weren't so from, they offered him sugar in his tea, and he was worried about Trumas and Maestras, so he said, no, I don't take sugar in my tea. And since he told them, I don't take sugar in my tea, so he's an ish emes, so he didn't take sugar in his tea for the next 50 years after that either. Because I said, I don't take sugar in my tea, then I can't take sugar in my tea, right? That's the famous maisa. I remember the first time Rav Shechter came to my house for Shabbos, I asked Shai, like, okay, we don't have any turkey, we don't have any milk, like what do we, you know, no veal, like, what else, what do I need to know over here, right? So he said, offer him tea at the end of the meal, and ask him if he wants sugar, and when he says no, ask him why not. So that was the first time I heard the story. So I offered him tea. I said, why don't you just tell me? He's like, no, it'll be better. So I offered him tea. Does everybody want sugar? No, thank you. This may sound weird, but Shai told me to ask, why don't you want sugar? So he told me that whole maisa. So anyway, so Rabbi Turetsky said that Rav Asher Weiss said to Rav Shechter, would you like sugar in your tea? He said, yes, I'd love some. The Rebbetzin looks at him and goes, 55 years you have sugar in your tea. What is going on? And he says, I'd love some. You know, that was it. Like he wouldn't be like, he wasn't even going to raise the questions. Like, you know, he's like sugar in his tea. He had a sweet tooth, you know, now that he had 80. I don't know. So Rabbi Turetsky sent that Shaila to Yonah, because I guess he only heard that tea story, the sugar story, from Yonah. So Yonah forwarded it to me, so I forwarded it to Shai. So Shai's like, the answer is Pasha. He doesn't want to inconvenience a Talmud Chacham. You know, so Talmud Chacham is trying to be mechabed him like that. So of course he's gonna, his own chumrah is gonna, you know, take the place of Talmud Chacham's offering him sugar in his tea. He's gonna offer whatever he's gonna take, whatever Talmud Chacham's offering him, because of his own chumrah he's gonna. So I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure. We have to ask him, because I heard recently there was something. I remember my antenna went up a little bit in one of these discussions. He told this maisa and he said, so for years after that, I used to not have sugar in my tea. Like, he already was talking about it in past tense. I think something changed. Maybe he took a neder till he turns 80. I don't know. Something. There must have been something. Some other pshat. But anyway, so that's what reminded me of. So that he wouldn't observe his chumrah on the cheshbon of somebody else. So the machsa shekel is mechadesh that you're allowed to do that. Meaning that nichlei lishlag mitzvah money means that someone would be perfectly happy with you observing a chumrah on their cheshbon by not folding the talus at all. But in a chinami, you're allowed to fold the talus as long as you do it not on the crease. It's also interesting that the Mechaber quotes this Deya of the Mordechai as a Yesh Misha Omer. So in the Tshuva's base David, he writes that even though normally the Klal is Stam and Yesh Omerim, the Halach is like a Stam, but that's only when he says, when the Stam and the Yesh Omerim are against each other. But if the Svara of the Stam is just what the Gemara says, it's just what it says in the Mishnah and the Gemara, and then the Shulchan Aruch quotes Yesh Omrim that adds another knach or another twist or another detail, then it's understood that the Mechaber is paskening like the Yesh Omrim. Because the Svar Rishona, being a Stam, is not a giloy of anything of what he holds about the Yesh Omrim. He was just telling you what the Gemara said. And then when Yesh Omrim, that if you do it in a way that's not on the Kippel Rishon, that's not on the original fold, so that's a detail that just didn't come up in the Gemara, so then the Shulchan Aruch would pass like that. Over here, there's nothing to discuss anyway, because he says Nir and Dvarav, right? That's the Shulchan Aruch himself says that he paskins like the Yesh Omrim. It's just an interesting klal that the Tshuva's Beis David has in learning Mechaber, that even though a Stam and a Yesh Omrim, you're always passing like the Stam and not the Yesh Omrim, or not the Yesh Misha Omer. Over here he says that the Stam, when it's a Yesh Omrim, the Yesh Omrim, you're passing like the second Yesh Omrim, right? But a Stam and a Yesh Omrim, you're always passing like the Stam. He says, yeah, but if the Yesh Omrim is not beferish against the Stam, it just adds a detail, then you would pass like the Yesh Omrim. L'chora, this heter works regardless of whether the Isser is Tikkun Mana or the Isser is Tircha. It's not such a tikkun mana if you're doing it on a way that's not strengthening the creases that are already there. And it's also not a tirchi yaseiru because you're doing it somewhat more haphazardly. You're not doing it in as careful a way. Chai Adam, however, is machmir. He says even if you fold it differently, if you're not going to wear that baguette again, that Shabbos, you shouldn't fold it. If you want to wear it again that Shabbos, then it's going to be a mutter, but otherwise you shouldn't. So in Rav Vadia's tshuva on the topic, he doesn't understand where the chayyadim is coming from. Mechaber is beferish mekel, so why are you going to be machmir about this? He says, Masha siyeh mechayyadim v'davka k'shrotza lov shabbos shabbos shibloke nakol asr dvar v'tamuim shadavar barur shahetr shakasu ha-ravya v'amordechai shuvu beis yosu b'shulchan aruch b'shem kabel shalok seyde kipilu rishon ha-inov yil k'shen al tzorach hayom. All the rishonim, when they quote this heter, are talking even if you don't want to wear it that same day again. So shalotzorach hayom afil b'seyde kipilu mutter. If you want to wear it that same day, you're even allowed to fold as long as you meet all the five criteria in the Gemara. This wasn't one of the criteria in the Gemara about Kippul Rishon, so this is a separate heter that works independent of the heterim of the Gemara. And Rav Vadia says v'kein kos of the Alter Rebbe in the Shulchan Aruch Harav and others as well. So he doesn't think that he says everyone's matmiya on the Chayyadim about this. He doesn't think that you have to be machmir like the Chayyadim. The Rav Ram Dovin, I'm sorry, the Nimukei Or Chaim, the Munkacher, writes that they were only matir to be makapal talis shalok save the kipul arishon when after Shabbos you're gonna fold it properly. Meaning, he says, yeah, this is a good heter, but what's the vard? The vard is you're not being masak in the baguette. But if you're going to leave it folded that way the whole week, you are creating a new crease in all likelihood, and therefore you are being misak in the baguette. Meaning, if there's a good crease that you should have folded it on, you didn't fold it on the crease, and then after Shabbos you do it right and you fold it on that crease, so then your folding on Shabbos was not a tikkun of the baguette. But if you're going to make a new crease by folding it, so then you are being misak in mana, then you are being misak in the baguette. And therefore the Munkacher suggests, maybe that's where the minna comes from, to fold your talis again on Motzei Shabbos. That it's not only because, you know, some people are OCD and they get, like, the thought of their talis sitting there in the bag, not being folded on its original crease, is driving them nuts all Shabbos long, that they need to fold it right away. And it's not because of the klipos and everything else that might be the Ruach Tum or whatever it might be on their talis, or the schools of Shalom Bayis or whatever that might be associated with the talis. No, it's halachic, because if the folding that they did on Shabbos was the final folding, then that might be a violation of Tikkun Mana. So Rav Vadia writes, "Thinis daiti nirshe matalus megua teta v'nikur kipul arishon bekav amuk shalagiu tzvu mekabel b'kol Shabbos b'tzad hasheni nikra zeh shalok seder kipul arishon shavilim yachzul kabel kol kach b'kol Shabbos adayin kavagiu tzkayim b'tzad echad v'nir la'ayin." He says, I don't know, a lot of times you get your talus, you buy your talus, and that crease is never going away. If that crease is permanent, so it's okay. You could fold your talus on Shabbos and not fold it again on Motzai Shabbos. Then the Beis Yosef quotes from the Kolbaw another kula, that Bizman Azeh, we're matir kipul begadim in general, because apparently the way we fold clothing is not the way they used to fold clothing. The issur of kipul is because of tirch letzorchol, l'chora this heter doesn't work. But if the issur is mishum tikkun kli, it could be that this isn't a real tikkun kli. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that the Rambam only answers a kippul that's a maisa uman, meaning if you could do it, then by definition that's not the tikkun kli that they were talking about. The fact that we were capable of doing such a folding, that's a raya that it's not the folding that Chazal were talking about. However, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes Tosos, you're not allowed to be mekabel talis shel beis haknesses because it's l'tzorach lachar. So it sounds like even our folding is the kippul that the Mishnah is talking about against what the Kolbo says. However, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that Shitas HaTosos is based on the Raifa, that the reason for the Yisr is because of Hachana. So the Yisr is one of Hachana, so then the Chor doesn't make a difference whether it's our kippul or not. If you're doing it l'tzorach chol, it's going to be Yasser. But if the Yisr is one of Tikkun Mana, so then it could be that our folding is, you know, that this heter works. Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kelim don't mention this heter. They don't say, oh, don't worry about it. You know, nowadays we don't know how to fold things anyway. However, a number of the Gedolei Poskim do mention this heter. The Yafal Leiv and the Aruch HaShulchan and the Das Torah, the Marsham. So there are a number of Gedolei Poskim that they mention. The Chidah mentions it also. The question is whether that matters that the Chidah mentions it. I mean, the Chidah quotes it in Birkei Yosef, but in the Sakdama to Machzik Bracha, the Chidah says that a lot of times he quotes poskim that he doesn't hold like. He just wants you to know that they exist, but he doesn't necessarily hold that way. So the fact that the Chida mentions it is not necessarily a raya that he's going to hold that way. But it didn't make it into Shulchan Aruch. A fourth heter is Rabbi Yamin Zilber writes in his Tshuva in Chelech Chesim and Chav Ches that if you don't really fold, meaning like you take a jacket, right, and so you do like this, you put it like that, and you put it down. So did you really fold anything? No, not really folding it. Meaning if you're just doing something that's a nice way to put it away, but it's not an actual fold. It's just, or you hang something on a hanger, or you know, like Rav Ozner writes, you know, you take a, I can't put my jacket on. If you hold up a pair of pants, so it will fall on. I just kept my jacket. It will naturally fall on the creases. So if it falls on the creases, so now I feel like so much pressure. So it will fall on the creases. So if it falls on the creases, so that's the way it's gonna fold. So that's not called folding something. You hold it up like this; it just falls naturally on the creases. So you fold it over a hanger. That's not called kippel at all. And then Reb Chaim Pelagi in the Sefer Yafa Lev writes that there's another tzad leheter by kippel talus because it's for a dvar mitzvah. Dafka for a talus because a talus is a chefter shel mitzvah. It's also a question, is a talus a chefter shel mitzvah or the tzitz is a chefter shel mitzvah? Talus is just a beggar that happens to have dalet kanfos that you do a mitzvah with. But that's also a discussion. So bottom line, we fold things in a way that's not, I think the general practice is when you fold your talus, not to find the crease and fold it perfectly on the crease, to at least fold things in a different way. In Shmir Shabbos, he writes, like the Pashas of the Shulchan Aruch, Shalo Kikipulo Harishon is okay. And then he says, but even though the Mishnah Berurah recommends being Machmir, you could rely on what the Shulchan Aruch says. Rav Vadya is even more makel. He says that even if it's not to wear again, that those who are noeg to be mekapal afilu kaseder kipulu arishon ein limchos biadam because yeshal al nashi yismochu. Because remember, there were rishon that said that nowadays this whole inyan doesn't apply. So even though that didn't make it into Shulchan Aruch, so you're certainly not going to make a macha if someone does it that way. But he recommends that you do like what it says in Shulchan Aruch and Shmir Shabbos to do shaloki kipulu arishon that yesh misha omer nirin kidvarav like that yesh misha omer. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, nah, you don't have to worry about anything at all. You could fold anything and everything nowadays. We paskin like all of those shitos that didn't make it into Shulchan Aruch, but were quoted that this whole thing doesn't apply bizman hazeh, and particularly when it comes to the Yalkut Yosef, right? So when it comes to a talus, where it's a chavta shel mitzvah, you can be makel.
If you don't have the OCD, should you still try to fold it again on both each other? So be you'll say that if you don't do it, then you're really leaving a new crease in there.
Yes, I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's necessary to do that. It's a nice chumrah. Where does it really come from, the folding of Motzai Shabbos? So there are different, right? It probably is based on this halachic source, but there are a lot of other suggestions. They say that it's a skula. And the Tamei HaMenachem says it's skula for your wife to have arichus yamin if you fold your talus. Why? Because who buys the talus? When you get married, your wife buys you the talus, or your shver, or whatever. Someone, you know, buys you the talus. So if you keep your talus in tip-top condition, it's either you're saying, I'm not interested in getting a new talus anytime soon. You know, that the wife should have arichus yamin. So that's the skula for the wife to have arichus yamin. They all say that it's a skula for shalom bayis. Rav Shechter told us the nice of that. There was a guy in the Satmar Beis Medrash that he would sit there with real OCD, like sitting there folding the talus 1,000 times over and over again. It wasn't perfect, and he undid the whole thing and did it again. And the Satmar Rebbe saw what he was doing, and the Rebbe said to him, what's going on? And he said, I'm having Shalom Bayis issues, so I just trying to be extra makbid in the schools for Shalom Bayis. So Shach told us, Satmar Rebbe said to him, it would be a bigger school for Shalom Bayis if instead of waiting here for an hour and a half after Shabbos was over, you went home and you helped clean the dishes after Shabbos and put things away. I mean, that would be, he said, the way of Shach said, I'm sure Satmar Rebbe didn't say this way, you know why it's a school for Shalom Bayis? Because if you're neat with your clothing, so then that's going to be a school for Shalom Bayis. So you train yourself to be neat in the way you put things away, that you shouldn't leave things all over the place and that you should fold things up nicely. And we do that, that's a skula for Shalom Bayis. As you know, Rav Shach is very into skulas, so that's a, you know, that's exactly the way he would explain a skula. So anyway, this is the so I mean, basically, as you could tell, I just read out of my sefer, but I'm allowed to, right? It's my own sefer, so that's fair. No, I get this one. Okay, so everyone have a good Chazara week, and we'll see you soon. If anyone could help schlep these out from this measure, that'd be really great.